What a beautiful time of worship this morning. Thank you guys for leading us in that. And God is amazing. Stories told of a man that went to his rabbi and was complaining to his rabbi. He said, "Life is just unbearable for me right now." He said, "There's nine of us in our house. It's a one-bedroom house. And I can't take it anymore. What can I do?" The rabbi thought for a moment, said to the man, he said, "What you need to do is go into your backyard, take one of your goats and put it in the house with you." The guy thought, he must not have heard me correctly. He couldn't have heard me correctly. So he asked the rabbi again, but the rabbi insisted, "Do what I said. Take one of your goats into your one-bedroom house with you and come back and we'll talk about it in a week." So 1 week later, the man returns and he's even more distraught at this point in his life. "And we can't stand it," he tells the rabbi. He says, "The goat, it's filthy, it stinks, it's destroying our stuff." And the rabbi pauses, thinking deeply, he says to him, "Return to your home and take the goat out of your house and come back and we'll talk about it in a week." When the man returns a week later, he's radiant at this point. Right? "Life is beautiful. We enjoy life so much. Thank you so much." The difference is perspective transforms our attitudes. Perspective transforms our attitudes. Our thoughts actually bend our feelings oftentimes. So the Bible says that becoming truly grateful requires that we think about life and see the world as God sees the world. William Shakespeare's King Lear says this. He says, "Sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child." This literally means it's especially painful to raise an ungrateful child. Have you ever been in a situation where you've just given and given and given of yourself, and there's absolutely no gratitude that's offered to you? It's kind of, you know, we don't do it for that purpose, but it's kind of heartbreaking in those moments. Sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child. It really hurts when those that we love so much don't show appreciation, just a little bit sometimes. This quote from Shakespeare is true of you and I as children of God. Think of that quote. "Sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child." It's true of you and I in our relationship with our Father God. As we prepare for Thanksgiving, we may not feel particularly thankful. Sometimes we're at places like that in life, and that is the reality. We're easily discouraged, maybe. Maybe life is just difficult right now. It seems like everything is going the wrong way, not the way that you envisioned it to go. Things don't always go as we plan. We may not appreciate God because we don't feel appreciated by God. Maybe we need to bring a goat into our house, right? And be stirred into gratitude. I want us this morning to take some time and examine some scripture and look at this concept of thankfulness, thanksgiving, as we're coming up to that time in our calendar year of offering thanksgiving for things. Let's pray together before we dive in. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity just to be here this morning. We thank you for the wonderful time of worship that we've had this morning. Lord God, we thank you for all those that are a part of this church and make ministry possible. As we come to this point in the service, I pray, Lord God, that we are able to just allow your Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. that as we think about this idea of thankfulness and the necessity of thankfulness, that we're able to examine ourselves a little bit this morning and say, how can I do better at this in my life? So Lord God, be with us. Anoint your word this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that in general, most people consider themselves to be thankful people. So the first thing that we're going to look at is this. Am I, or are we, but I like the am I, it's a little bit more personal for us, naturally thankful? One president's Thanksgiving Day proclamation began like this. It said, Americans, we are grateful people, ever mindful of the many ways we have been blessed. Are we? Is this true? Do we constantly give thanks for what we have, or do we complain about the things that we lack sometimes in life? In Psalm 107, and if you want to turn there, go ahead and turn there. It's going to be page 432 in the church Bibles. Psalm 107. This psalm was written because Israel needed reminding to be thankful for God's redemption in their lives. His redemption from wandering in the desert, His redemption from imprisonment, His redemption from sickness and sin, and from being lost on the sea. These people experienced God's help and favor again and again, yet they were not grateful. Their attitude was more, what have you done for me lately? And it's interesting to look at this book, and I just want to point out a couple verses that are a great reminder from David to the Israelites, but also a great reminder for me and you as we live our lives and face the many challenges that life brings our way. So look with me at verse 1. David says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then jump down to verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Jump down to verse 15. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Jump down again to verse 21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. And then one more time, verse 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds to men. Despite what the Israelites were going through, David is reminding them, we should give thanks to the Lord for what He has done, for His unfailing love in our lives. We as followers of Christ, we have so many reasons to have grateful hearts. Yet we may be quick to leave off the thankfulness at times when things don't go exactly how we expected, how we anticipated or planned, just kind of like the Israelites had gone through. I'd be the first to admit that Thanksgiving is not my first response to trials and to troubles. If you look at James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says this. It says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What James is counseling me to do is to find joy in all things. Oftentimes I can find myself grumbling in those moments. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What a difficult verse to really live out, isn't it? Think of those few words. When I read that, I can tell you one thing that I'm certainly thankful for this morning. And that is God's love despite when I mess things up, despite when I don't find myself being thankful in those moments, when I miss the mark. In our human nature, we will all miss the mark from time to time. And especially in this verse from 1 Thessalonians where it says, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. I don't think I'm standing up here alone. I'm missing the mark on that one. How many times do we not recognize or not give thanks to God for what He is doing in our lives? Let's be honest. I think most of us are guilty. Just be open to think about how we are ungrateful sometimes. I think this is the beginning of really truly being grateful, is recognizing when we are ungrateful for things. Maybe we never get around to thanking God for His many common mercies that He offers to us, like life and health, water and food, clothing and housing, friends and family, God's revelation and His redemption to us. We may think most often on what we lack in life. Yeah, I have bread, but I don't have fish. Or I have fish, but no vegetables. Or I got some cash, but not a lot of it. Or I have a car, but it's a clunker. A computer, but it's not an Apple. Right? Has God heard us singing songs of self-pity? We might fret too much over our illnesses. The Bible insists that afflictions are for good. Does God hear our thankfulness in troubles? I love the story, and I've shared this years and years ago with you, so I'm sharing it again. It's of Matthew Henry. He was a pastor in the early 1700s. And he was robbed one day, and he wrote in his diary that evening. He said, let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. If we are to learn the joy and contentment of a thankful heart, we must begin by confessing our lack of thankfulness and asking God for forgiveness for that. We are all by nature guilty of ungratefulness at times. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit. And number two, we're going to talk about, should I be thankful? Should we be thankful? The Psalms seem to command thanksgiving from us. If you remember back to verse 1 of 107 that we looked at, right? It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And at least 23 other Psalms do the same thing. Like Psalm 30. It says, sing praise to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. And then you can get outside of the Psalms and just look at other passages within the Scripture, and there's genuine gratitude that we can even see that is characterized in the prayers that Jesus prays. We can see gratitude, the example of it, in Christ's life Himself. The Apostle Paul, in his 13 letters in the New Testament, he mentions giving thanks 45 different times. The book of Revelation clearly characterizes worship in heaven with thankfulness. Revelation chapter 11, starting at verse 16, It says the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, for you have taken your great power and began to reign." So let's just jump back for a second to that Psalm 107, to the second verse, which we've read together already. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." Have you been redeemed from destruction or damnation? Have you been saved from sin and the eternal suffering which it deserves? Passage tells us then, say so. Give thanks to the Lord for it. To truly examine ourselves, I think we must realize that the thankfulness requires two things, both attitude and action. It requires an attitude of thankfulness. We don't do it just begrudgingly. And it requires action in our lives. We have to intentionally choose to go out of our way to do that. I'm sure many of us have been around a person at some point in time, and especially if it's a younger child, it can become really obvious, right? Where maybe you're at their birthday party and they're opening gifts, and they open up the one gift and they realize like it's underwear or something like that. And you can tell instantly they are not thankful for what they just got. Now, can you blame them? But that's a whole other subject. But you can tell instantly that they are not thankful for what they got. But then mom or dad is on the sidelines saying, "Hey, you need to tell Aunt Susie thank you for that." Right? And they eventually muster up a thank you to Aunt Susie, but there's absolutely nothing behind it. There's an attitude of ungratefulness that's behind the thank you. Attitude is so important in regards to our thanksgiving to God. Of course, we are grateful when life is good and when things are going well and we're happy. But what about when times are hard and there's less to please the flesh? Maybe we need to get a goat in the house. A different way of seeing things. Instead of asking, "Is this gift what I wanted?" Maybe we need to learn to ask, "Did the person giving the gift demonstrate love and kindness to me?" Our perspective can change things. Your perspective can change things. We have great reasons to be thankful. We have this great, amazing God. I think the other great reasons to be thankful is we're commanded to be thankful. We're instructed to do that. We would expect it from others. I think typically when we expect something from others, we should be willing to reciprocate those things. And there's great joy in being thankful. The story is told about a farmer that was known for his constant complaining in life. Always complaining about something. Something was always wrong. And a neighbor stopped by to visit him and noticed that he was pulling in this wonderful crop that was growing. So he said to the farmer, he said, "You must be just thrilled about this year's harvest." And the farmer grudgingly admitted, he said, "Well, yes. It does look like it's the best crop that I've probably ever had." But he added, "A bumper crop is awfully hard on my soil." Right? See, we have a bumper crop of blessings in our lives. But a failure of gratitude can certainly make us bitter. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. So, I want to end our time talking about how we can apply this to our lives. And I encourage you, if you're taking notes, write down all 8 of these potential applications. But then, over the course of the rest of the day, choose one that you're going to work on. Or maybe 2 or whatever, but don't overwhelm yourself with all 8. These eight things, and I love this when society catches up with Scripture and says, oh, that's a good idea. We should write something about that. So for many years, we see in Scripture the importance of Thanksgiving. There's an article in Forbes magazine, and it talked about eight ways to have more gratitude in our lives every day. Eight ways to be more thankful. And it's because it's good for us to be thankful. So I'm just going to give you real quickly those eight things. I think each one of them lines up with exactly what we've talked about this morning. So to me, that's just, it's interesting that they take credit for something God did many years ago. The first one is this. Don't be picky. Appreciate everything. How simple, but yet profound. Gratitude doesn't have to be saved for the big things in life. The habit of being grateful starts with appreciating every good thing in life and recognizing that there is nothing too small for you to be thankful for. The second is find gratitude in your challenges. Gratitude is not only about being thankful for positive experiences. In fact, sometimes thinking about negative or difficult situations can help to really nail down what you have to be thankful for. The goat in the house, right? Dig a little deeper into some of your own past experiences, challenges, and try to figure out how they have helped shape you into the person that you are today. I guarantee you the difficulties you've walked through in life shape you for the future. The third one, practice mindfulness. Sit down daily and think through 5 to 10 things that you are grateful for. The trick is, this is kind of interesting, the trick is that you need to picture in your mind and sit with that feeling of gratitude in your body. Doing this every day will rewire your brain to be naturally more grateful. And then it went on to say, it only takes 8 weeks of gratitude practice for people to start showing changed brain patterns. Look at the power of thankfulness. Changed brain patterns that lead to greater empathy and happiness in life. Wow. Your brain is a powerful tool, it goes on, and training it towards gratitude is all part of assuring that the gratitude comes more easily as you practice it. Number four, keep a grateful journal. Write down your positive thoughts. Keeping a journal of all the things that you are thankful for can help you keep track and refer back to the positives in your life. This one was interesting. Volunteer. For many people, the key to having more gratitude is to give back to others in their local community. Not only will it make you more grateful for the things that you may take for granted, but studies have shown that volunteering for the purpose of helping others increases our own well-being and thus our ability to have more gratitude. In other words, helping others helps you. Express yourself. Sometimes it's not enough to simply keep your gratitude to yourself. You can increase your feelings of gratitude by expressing that same gratitude to people that you care about. Tell people about it. Not only does expressing your gratitude for someone else make their day a little bit brighter, but it can do wonders for increasing your own level of gratitude and happiness in the long run. Spend time with loved ones is number 7. If you're struggling with feeling the gratitude in the moment, go spend time with your friends and your family, with loved ones. Of course, it will help you grow closer to them and strengthen your relationship, but it will also give you a chance to practice your acts of gratitude on people that you care about. And the last one is improve your happiness in other areas of your life. Being grateful can make you happy, but being happy can also make you grateful. They're tied together. There are plenty of other ways to get your mood up, including exercising and participating in hobbies that you enjoy, etc., etc. Once you're feeling the endorphins flow, showing gratitude will become even easier. And you'll start to be able to make a list, and a list, and another list of all the things in your life that you're thankful for. That's how we're going to end our time together as a church family this morning. I did not tell you at the beginning of the message, like I told you I would, Warren, that we need to hand out those little pieces of paper. But if you could hand those out at this point, that would be helpful. We're going to take time this morning. We've done this before in different manners, different ways. There's a little piece of paper that's coming your way. And I encourage you to share pens with each other so that you can write something down on there. And think through life. And think through maybe this last year, something that has happened in your life that you are truly thankful to God for. Maybe you haven't thanked Him for it already. And it's time to say, you know what, God? I thank You for this in my life. And we want you to write these down. And during the last song, as we're standing and singing the last song, we're going to do just kind of a thanks offering to God. We're going to have you come up front and just put them across the front steps of the church here. And do be aware of this. We are going to take them this week and compress them in likeness. So some that are kind of alike will all get the same rough idea. And then you'll find them in an insert in your bulletin next week as we head into the week of Thanksgiving, of just things that your church brothers and sisters, things that we as a church family are thankful for. All right, so do we all understand what we're doing? We're sharing pens and pencils. We're writing down stuff. During the closing song, you guys can come on up and get us ready to close out in the last song. During that closing song, just make your way to the front and put it somewhere along the steps. And then next week, we'll be able to celebrate together all of God's goodness that we have seen in this last year. Heavenly Father, we come to You and thank You so much for this day. You are so good to us. And Lord God, we confess our lack of thankfulness and we ask for forgiveness when that creeps into our lives. But allow us, Lord God, today, in the days moving forward, to give thanks to You for Your goodness, for Your steadfast love in each one of our lives. Help us to see through the difficult times how You are using them to shape us and mold us into the person that You desire for us to be, Lord God. Help us even in the most difficult circumstances in life to still be able to see the good things that are happening. Even when life feels out of control. And help us to give thanks for those things and to share our gratitude with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.